This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina wa Qaidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa rizukna attiba'a. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty and Glory, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Once again, my brothers and sisters, with the 11th hadith of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawwi, we start relying on Allah Azza wa Jal, as this hadith been narrated by Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, an Abi Muhammadin, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sibt Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa rayhanatihi radiyallahu anhuma, qal, hafithtu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da' ma yaribuk ila ma la yaribuk. Rawahu Tirmidhi wa Nasa'i. It's been narrated by Abu Muhammad Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, the son of Abi Talib, who is the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says that I've memorized from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam what alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned: leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. Very small and short hadith, but with a great meaning from behind this hadith. Leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. This hadith, Ikhwani, Akhawati, is one of the great hadith that applies in all principles of Islam. First of all, applies in the character of a Muslim. A lot of times, living in this world, a lot of times trying to please Allah Azza wa Jal with the best of ability that we can, we do come across a lot of things that we do doubt. And a lot of the times we'll be in a state of confusion to take the best of decision that could be the best to us, that please Allah Azza wa Jal firstly, and that's the best decision that will benefit us in our life secondly. In Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, who Allah Azza wa Jal had sent a mercy to mankind, not only he came to teach people what's halal and what's haram, not only alayhi salatu wasalam's job to tell people just pray and fast, but sallallahu alayhi wasalam built characters. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he establishes men and he builds characters. And from among those of advices, and from among those of recommendation and teachings and traditions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is to structure, establish, graduate strong, firm, wise, intelligent men. And I like the word of Imam al-Razi. He says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not like any other leader that left behind a great and a massive building, a brick over a brick. Usually when they speak about the great Napoleon, the great Fir'aun, the great, you know, Caesar, the great Hercules, and they refer to that great statue that he built or he left behind. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't like those leaders that he left behind a massive structured city, a massive building. Alayhi salatu wasalam left behind men. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam left behind rijal, men. As Allah Azza wa Jal, he even says in the Quran al-Kareem, من المؤمنين رجال. from among the believers, the Amin. So not all people are believers, and not all believers are men. Indeed, not all believers are men. From among those believers, there's a small number of men that are the men that stood by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alayhi salatu wa salam established those men not only worshipping Allah and praying to Allah, but established men with strong hearts. He established men with strong minds. He established men with strong focus. He established men with strong manners. He established men with strong characters. And this ahadith before us is one of those ahadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches the companions to have those strong qualities and characters, in which alayhi salatu wasallam, he tells them, in your life, in all aspects of life, always resort to something that you don't doubt. And that's the case with us in a lot of things in our life, whether in our religious life, or whether in our business life, whether in our family life, whether in our personal life. Sometimes we come to a state of confusion whether to choose what's right or what's best. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. Always resort to something that's not doubtful. Starting with the religion. A lot of the aspects in our life, in the religious life, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we get confused. Did I do it? I didn't do it. Did I lose my wudu? I didn't lose my wudu. Did I implement it? I didn't implement. This hadith is a strong and one of the best principles that puts the foundation to clear. A lot of the times, people doubt. In the salah, for example, you'll be praying, and then you know in the second rak'ah, you doubt that it might be the third rak'ah. You doubt it might be the third rak'ah. This hadith tells you, throw the doubt, and stick to something that you don't doubt. Throw the doubt, throw it. And that's why when it comes to fiqh ikhwani, when it comes to jurisprudence, to the Islamic jurisprudence, a shak, doubt, is got nothing to play, or doubt is something that's not you establish, or something that's not to the scholars, in the eyes of the scholars, it's not a principle that the scholars take. Doubt is always thrown out of the window. Always doubt thrown out of the window. Someone, for example, prayed and he doesn't know whether it's one or two. He's got a small doubt it's one or two, and he knows it's due, but he's got doubts it could be the third rak'ah, for example. Throw the doubt. Stick to two. Someone, for example, after the salah, he's got doubts that he forgot to make sujood. Throw the doubt. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. Throw the doubt. And usually, ikhwani, doubt comes from the shaitan. Sometimes you know this is the best thing, this is the proper thing. But shaitan keeps on throwing these doubts in your heart, so you pull away from it. And that's why doubt is from the shaitan, as the scholars say. Doubt, shak, is from the shaitan. He always puts shak in you, he always puts doubt in your heart, especially in something that pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, and he wants you to turn away from it. That's why as a Muslim, you take this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. Anything you doubt in your life, leave it. Leave it and go for something you don't doubt. Like for example, one brother told me, I've got a lot of doubts in getting married to this girl. Leave and go and get married to a girl that you don't have doubts. That's what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. I've got, wallah, doubts in studying this subject. Leave it and go and study a subject that you don't have doubts. Always establish this principle in your life. When you have this hadith always in front of you, when you have that qa'idah, this principle always in front of you, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ, leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful, you live the best of life. It is the case in all our matters and different aspects of our life, we always come to doubtful matters that we don't know what's the best thing to do, leave what's doubtful, resort to something that's not doubtful. Sometimes, sometimes you are put in a situation where you can't. Both matters that you need to choose to you are doubtful matters. So what do you do? You do what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Two things, istikhara and istishara. Istikhara, my brothers and sisters, is to pray the two guidance prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek guidance from Allah azza wa jal to show you in which is best, which matter is best for you. And Salat al-Istikhara is 2 rak'ah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the companions the Istikhara prayer the way he used to teach them a verse from the Quran. In other words, he used to emphasize and used to regularly teach the companions and used to regularly recommend the companions to pray the istikhara prayer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And alayhi salatu wa salam says, anyone that has a doubt in any matter, let them pray 2 rak'ah to Allah. Let them pray 2 rak'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 rak'ah beside the rak'ah of Faridah and Sunnah. And those 2 rak'ah can be prayed anytime, except after Asr till Maghrib and after Fajr till sunrise. Those 2 rak'ah can be prayed any time during the day, except after Asr till Maghrib and after Fajr till sunrise, because that's the time of Qara'ah. You pray 2 rak'ah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Simple and short and sweet rak'ah. You read in the first rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In the second rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Or whatever surah you know. And after you give salam, you raise your hands to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you make the dua that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. In which Allahumma inna astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka biqudratika wa as'alaka min fadlika al-azim fa innaka ta'lam wa la a'lam wa taqdir wa la aqdar wa anta allamul ghuyub until the end of the dua. He don't know it in Arabic. He don't know it of Baha in Arabic. You could open the dua book in front of you and read it in Arabic. You don't know it in Arabic, you know it in English. Or you don't know how to read Arabic, you know how to read English. You could read it in English. You don't have the book. You don't need the book or to read from the book. Raise your hands and say, Ya Allah, I am confused and choose for me which is best for my religion and for myself. And you don't have to go that far. Just say, Ya Allah, choose for me which is best for my religion and my deen. And always, Ikhwani, the istikhara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, the closer you are to Him, the more Allah looks after you. The closer you are to Allah, the easier the answer comes to you. See, first of all, with the istikhara, my brothers and sisters, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَإِنْ هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ. The hadith says that if one of you is confused in a matter. So istikhara is made and only made when someone is confused. Not someone knows this is the best. Like for example, I know this job is the best job for me. I could see all the benefits coming to me. And I could see it does not clash with my religion and so on. And I've got no confusion or doubt about it. You don't need to make istikhara. Tawakkal on Allah and take it. Wallah, I'm getting engaged to a woman. She's a good woman. She's a religious woman. I could see everything good in her. And I don't have any doubt in me. Tawakkal on Allah without istikhara. Rely on Allah. Yeah, rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla and get married to her. The time that you make istikhara is when you're confused. You've got this doubt that you can't take out of your heart. You make 2 rak'ah istikhara to Allah Azza wa Jal. Any time during the day. And as we said, you pray 2 rak'ah and you make that dua. And as we said, with the dua, it doesn't have to be in Arabic. You could do it in any language. Say, Ya Allah, just choose for me which is best. And you repeatedly do that. You do it the first day, the second day. The scholars say up to 3 days in a row. Or up to 3 times. Shouldn't be 3 days in a row. Up to 3 times. Now the answer of the istikhara, my brothers and sisters, how does it come? A lot of people say that istikhara comes through the dream. No, it's not necessarily that the istikhara or the answer of the istikhara comes through the dream. But the dream is one of the things that the istikhara or the answer of the istikhara could come through. It's one of the things. So where's the main thing? Or where does the answer mainly come through? It comes to your heart. Allah puts it in your heart. You'll find your heart relaxed and comfortable towards it. For example, when I get married to this girl, why I'm using marriage, because most of the times people ask istikhara when it comes to marriage. Subhanallah. People always know istikhara and want to do istikhara when it comes to marriage. Besides that, no one cares. Now, so someone wants to get married and they are confused whether this girl is the most suitable girl for them or not. So they make istikhara. And subhanallah, after making istikhara, especially this person is close to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his piety, and because he keeps away from the haram, this man's heart or this person's heart starts to open to this girl. And he realizes that, subhanAllah, she is the right girl for him. And she is the best girl for him. Not because, wallah, she's attractive. It's because she fits in his heart. Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, subhanAllah, one of the signs of the istikhara, that Allah makes things easy for you. You realize, subhanAllah, huh? You get engaged and things go smoothly and you get married and so on. So this is the answer of the istikhara. And as we said, the closer you are to Allah Azza wa Jal, the easier the answer comes to you. The answer will come in direct into your heart. But if you are far away from Allah Azza wa Jal, the answer could come close and easy, and the answer could take longer and even longer. As we mentioned, the dreams could be, not necessarily, but could be one of the signs on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give an answer to someone. Like someone makes an istikhara and sees in their dream, subhanAllah, something beautiful, that's a sign of them, you know, doing what they ask for. And happens to a lot of time. And of course, the dream, ikhwani, the dream, al-manam, al-ru'ya, is something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's one portion from 46 portions of the prophecy. And that's the only portion of the prophecy that's left. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes inspires one of His servants through the dream. May one of the servants of Allah see a good dream that's an answer to a question that this servant of Allah wanted. Or maybe a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla to that person. Seeing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was one of the greatest gifts that a human being can get, is to see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the dream. So the dream could be one of the answers, not necessarily, but could be one of the answers that Allah Azza wa Jalla will answer your istikhara. Some people over exaggerate, saying, you wake up and you see a river with green grass around it, with a mountain on the side, or Mab'ar of Shu, and all these things. All this is myth. It's not. It does not exist, and it's got nothing to do with the answer of istikhara. Mainly, the answer of the istikhara comes through your heart. Through your heart, you feel comfortable towards it, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will open up to you. And as we said, you do it once, twice, and three times. Yeah, each other. Some scholars say up to seven times, but once, twice, three times. And some scholars say you keep on doing it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the answer. The other thing that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also recommended us to take the doubt and always choose what's good is istishara. Like, for example, istishara, to make a consultation, you consult the good people or the specialist people in that field. Like, for example, I want to get married, as we again, people always come, I want to get married to this girl. Ask people who deal in marriage. Ask, and who mostly, most of the time is the sheikhs that deal in marriage. Ask him, which is the best of quality I should get married to? And Nabi Sassam told us that the best of women, if you look at her, you get happy because of her religion, because of her piety. And if you make a promise on her, she fulfills your promise, she protects you with her chastity and her wealth. This is the good woman. And he asked, okay, I want, for example, I'm confused, which job should I take? Ask the qualified people. Ask someone that knows in that job. Don't go and ask a sheikh, wallahi, should I become an engineer? What's a sheikh got to do with engineering? You know what I mean? Go and ask an engineer himself, I've got this job, blah, blah, blah. Consult someone. Yani, consult the right people. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ as Allah Azza wa Jalla says. And ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So these are the two main key of always taking the doubt out. Is istikhara and consultation. And that's why they say, no one will ever regret after making istikhara, and no one will ever feel sorry after making istishara. No one ever regret after making istikhara, no one ever feel sorry or guilty after making istishara. Always, when you consult people, and you always take their experience, always gives you and puts you on the right track. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, he says, da'ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuk. Leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. And Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, he says, by Allah, that is the perfection of taqwa, that some of the righteous people start to leave some of the halal for the sake of the fear of falling into the haram. This is the top of the taqwa. This is the strength of the taqwa. That yani, these people are so strong in the iman, they left some of the halal from the fear of falling into the haram. So sometimes doubtful things we should always keep away from. And those doubtful things is what we mentioned before in the hadith. It's called the shubahat, or al-mushtabihat. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that halal is clear and haram is clear. And what's between halal and haram, a grey area that he called it, mushtabihat. يعني unclean things. So Allah said, المشتبهات, the unclean or the doubtful things are from the haram. So as a Muslim who cares about his iman, as a Muslim who wants to please Allah Azza wa Jal, I should always resort to things that are not doubtful. Take the path that I do not doubt in. Always take the path that I do not doubt in. The other day, subhanAllah, like that's a simple example. I was driving with someone and we're coming from the city. So heck, I clicked on my mind and said, why don't you take yani, the back streets? He said, I'd rather stick to something that I know than something that I doubt. And looked at myself, every time I do that, I want to get out of the back street, it will take me even an hour extra because I get lost. So leaving something that you're not, you always get to something that you have a bit of doubt in, that you rather stick to something that you don't doubt, even if it takes you 5 minutes, than trying to get into something that you've got a bit of doubt that will even drag on with you many times. And it happened to me many times. Oh no, this is the way. But I'll say I'll go through the back street. I want to reduce 10 minutes less. I'll end up in the other side of the city. Eh? Subhanallah. So, leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. Something that you don't doubt, stick to it. You always win. Something that you don't doubt, stick to it. And of course, that comes to our religion. Something that I doubt, it's halal, haram. Okay, something that I doubt, I'm not sure. Leave it. Leave it. Like how many times a lot of people say, Wallah, Sheikh, I don't know if this food that I'm eating halal or haram. Leave it. Doubtful things, leave it. It's better for you. It's always better for you. I don't know this guy that I'm dealing with, his money is haram money. You've got that doubt, leave it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Unless you are forced, is that necessity, then that's a different case. But if you're not forced, leave something that you don't doubt and always go with something that you're content with. And all that word content, and maybe it's not that easy. Because Imam Shafi'i says, Al-qana'atu kanzul la yafna. Being content is a treasure or never-ending treasure. When you're content and you accept what you want, then you are the richest one. If your income is $100 a week and you're content with it, then you are living more comfortable than someone who gets $100 million a week and is not content. Because you're content at the end of the day. That person that's earning that $100 million, he still wants more. So he's not content, so he's still working more. But when you are content and you're happy and satisfied, even for something little, then you won. And then you are the one that's satisfied. Then you are the one that's happy. And that's why being content is one of the hardest things that the mankind or the human being or the son of Adam can be. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, if the son of Adam had a valley of gold, he'll ask Allah for a second valley. He's never content. He's got a valley of gold, he'll ask Allah for another valley of gold. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَا يَمْلَأُ فَاهَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِلَّا تُرَبْ. And nothing will fill up that mouth and the tummy of the son of Adam except the dust and the sand of his grave. Nothing will make fill him up except that. Subhanallah, it's the nature of human being is always eager, always wants more. Always wants more. Wants more, wants more, wants more. And never been content. And that's why Islam teaches us to be content. Even if it's the smallest thing. Even if it's a small thing. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اِرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you, you'll be the richest one. You'll be the richest human being on earth. Even if it's a dollar a day, alhamdulillah, content, you're happy. Content. But if someone is not content, he's always poor. If someone is not content, he's always poor. And subhanAllah, I've experienced rich people who are so rich, they're not content. They are so hungry. They are so hungry at collecting more money, and they are so selfish on themselves. They probably don't even eat the food of a poor man that eats. Or drink the water that a poor man drinks. And they're not content. They are not content. Once a man mentioned the story of a fisherman. This fisherman used to be very professional and very good in his field, in his profession. And he knows when to fish, what time to fish, and how to fish. Once one of his mates or one of his friends saw him fishing. So I was amazed from the experience that this man had. He casts the rod, straight away catches a fish. He goes at the right time, at the right moment, knows where to fish and so on. So, and that friend of his saw him, that this man, this good fisherman, only collects and only catches enough fish for his day, for him and his family. So one day his friend told him, since you are so professional and you're so good at it, you could make business out of this. You could make business out of that. So he said, and then what? He said, start collecting more fish and more fish, and then start selling it in the market. So he told him, and then what? He said, after you start making more money, you start employing people working for you. He said, and then what? He said, then you get a big ship, and you get those employees working on it, and you catch more fish and make more money. And then he said, then what? And then he said, you buy a big house and relax. He said, alhamdulillah, I am already relaxed. I'm already relaxed. Why should I go through that process of going all the way to be relaxed when I am already relaxed? But subhanAllah, the eye of the son of the Adam is always big. Wants something, you know. He's relaxed, he's comfortable. What's it going to make a difference? What's that sleep going to be difference in a house that big or a house that small? It's all the same at the end of the day. It's all the same. For ikhwani, being content is a treasure. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to be pleased with what Allah had given us, you'll be the richest one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the valley of Mecca full of gold to be the richest mankind. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, bal asbiru yawman, bal ajru'u yawman wa asbir, wa ashba'u yawman wa ashkur. Or no, or rather, starve one day and have patience, inshaAllah azza wa jal, I deserve the rewards of my patience, and eat one day and thank Allah in return. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For my brothers and sisters, leave what's doubtful for something that's not doubtful. This is wallahi ikhwani, this hadith, if we take it serious, and we put it always on our forehead, you live the best life. You live the best life. And you'll be content in the best way. And subhanAllah, that hadith is so practical in the law of your life. It's so practical in the law of your thing. Then tomorrow you'll see. Tomorrow you see how, subhanAllah, you come to do a lot of things. And then you remember the hadith, you leave it, and you'll feel content at the end of the day. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina istami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdaka, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.